Now, you know, we've got our own kind of confusion after a vote at the moment, but it's not the only one happening around the world. The chaotic aftermath of the Brexit vote continued last night with another exit from one of the key campaigners, this time Nigel Farage, the leader of the United Kingdom Independence Party, better known as UKIP. He's announced his, I believe, third resignation from the party, saying that, and I'll quote, "During the referendum, I said I wanted my country back. Now I want my life back." Joining us from the politics department at the University of Adelaide, we have Professor Clem McIntyre to discuss what this all means. Professor, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Now, for a lot of Australians, I think we really only started hearing about Nigel Farage in a great volume when the Brexit kind of vote was happening. Has he been a very significant player since in the last sort of few years of English politics?
Oh, he has been, as the debates about whether or not there should have been a referendum have taken place. He's been campaigning for it for a number of years. He stood as a candidate for election to the British Parliament a couple of times. He's been also an elected member of the European Parliament for UKIP since, I think, 1999. So he's been a regular figure in British politics, but it's only in the last few years that he's really gone from perhaps what many thought was the fringe to a much more significant position of influence.
Yes, Brexit certainly kind of brought them to the fore in quite a frightening way. And look, some people would argue that, you know, he might have said his job was done, but does he have some sort of obligation to see it all through now?
Well, he doesn't think so. he has several times, as you mentioned earlier, resigned from UKIP straight after the most recent general election. In May of last year, he resigned, but then sort of unresigned about 3 days later. So it's clear that there's a sort of a slightly fractious relationship with the party, but he is very much the face of the party, probably the only name that most people would associate with UKIP until the most recent days. I think part of his public statement is that he's now achieved what he wants to, that he's got the referendum, and the referendum's been supported by the British voters, and so job done, now I want my life back. But I think there's an element of truth in that, I'm sure, but there's also an element that UKIP probably is now going to pursue a different path in British politics, and he probably recognises his time's up and it's time for somebody else to take the heavy lifting, as they say.
Surely this is going to increase protests around Brexit. I mean, it's my understanding that the referendum remains non-binding in a legal fashion.
That's true. The referendum is very much an indicative plebiscite. It's up to the British Parliament or the government to initiate the process of leaving, and they're not bound by that. It's not the equivalent of a constitutional referendum that we're used to in Australia. It's more along the lines of an indicative plebiscite, such as we're talking about for same-sex marriage. But having said that, the vote was pretty clear-cut, 52-48% of those who voted. I think any government that chose to ignore that and not go ahead with it would face an enormous political backlash. Now, that's not to say that there are not people agitating to set the result aside or to have another referendum or to find some legal way of blocking it. That'll be a challenge, I think, for the incoming Prime Minister, whoever that is. But I think it's hard to see how a government could effectively ask the people for their opinion and then say, well, having heard that, thank you, we're not interested, we'll carry on as we were.
I think we might find that ourselves if we ever do get a plebiscite on marriage equality, to be perfectly honest. But Farage was a very divisive figure in UK politics. He kind of ran on a strong anti-immigration, very nationalistic platform. Where was his support base in the UK? And do you think there's something we can learn from our own recent election for that?
He was divisive, as you say, and in fact, those who put together the official Leave campaign during the referendum excluded Nigel Farage. There were other members of UKIP involved, but they didn't want Farage sort of sharing a platform with them, I suppose. He continued to campaign. He famously put out an enormous poster on the day that the MP Joe Cox was killed with a photograph of a long line of Middle East migrants trying to get into, I think, Macedonia, with just the statement "breaking point," which was seen to be very provocative in the circumstances. And he's certainly not been afraid of pressing his case in a fairly confrontationist manner. But the official Remain Leave, the official Leave campaign, Vote Leave campaign, headed by Boris Johnson, was trying to distance itself from Farage because they saw him as someone who was probably a bit too close to the sort of the racist fringe. Whether there are lessons for Australia, it's hard to know. Of course, we don't have a campaign of equivalent nature as part of our domestic politics, but we do have signs, I suppose, that people are turning from the major parties, that are looking for sometimes what might be characterised as very simple simple solutions to complex problems. And there are some political leaders around who I think are appealing to that same sense of disengagement, disaffection that some voters in the UK have felt. And there's, as you say, there's signs of it here in Australia in the last election.
Now, just quickly at the end, could Farage stepping down, do you think, ease relations between the EU and the United Kingdom for them to actually maintain some sort of trade ties?
No, I don't think his single decision would make much difference to that. As I understand it, he's going to continue to be a member of the European Parliament. He famously spoke out just after the referendum in a very triumphalist way about the decision in the UK and put a lot of EU backs up, I think. No, we have to really wait for the Conservative Party to pick a new leader. That person will become Prime Minister. The process of negotiation and engagement will take place then. Now, Farage, I'm sure, as an EU MP and his successors will continue to provide commentary on that, but really it's in the hands of the Conservative government now and how they conduct those relationships or that relation that change with the EU is really a matter for the government rather than for Farage, other than just commentary that I think we'll see from the side.
Professor McIntyre, thank you for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Yeah, some fascinating stuff there. Interesting kind of development overnight in England as Nigel Farage steps down once more as leader of UKIP, saying that he believes his job is done.